Brain Mechanics and the Quantum Potential. Yes, I have been explaining the same topics over and over, but we don't seem to be getting anywhere. Now, how best to tackle this? Today, we all know that everything we perceive is taking place inside our brain. Our external data we receive gets converted in various waves inside our brain and observed in our imagination or within the holographic universe. When we say, I understand, I think, I know, I read, I learn, etc., we are merely referring to the activity that is taking place inside our brain. But how does this formation inside of our brain occur? All data that reaches our brain is essentially composed of electrical signals and waves. Whether we receive these waves through our eyes, other organs, or through other receptors of our brain, of which we are unaware. Take note of the fact that, although these incoming waves are evaluated by the brain's biological, biochemical mechanism, in reality, based on the laws of attraction, I believe the wavelength structure that comprises the essence, i.e., the reality, the origin of our brain, is the real evaluator. When the brain begins to form in the womb, between the 25th and 29th days, the wavelengths sent by the nuclei of the forming organs reach the brain and become stored there. This data then begins to program the neurons in the brain to specific frequencies. All incoming information to the brain, in the form of wavelengths and data, get programmed according to the current frequencies of the neurons in the brain. Now, all our organs, be it our liver, our kidneys, or lungs, etc., have different functions. In fact, all the cells of all the organs have originated from one single cell. In respects of its origin, a cell functions in accordance to the program it receives. A cell in the kidney, for example, functions as a kidney cell based on the programming it receives. If it had been programmed to be a lung cell, it would have functioned as a lung cell instead. So, whichever organ the cell forms part of, it carries a program related to the frequency of that particular organ. Similarly, when brain cells are formed, they are programmed according to the frequency of the data the brain receives, and they function accordingly. As a result, we may say the brain is a mass of information, or data. Or, put another way, the brain is a cluster of waves. Of course, I am not referring to the brain in its flesh form, or the neural or biochemical structure we call the brain. Rather, the original wave structure of the brain. In the past, this was referred to as the spirit or soul. In origin, it is in fact the wavelength conformation of the brain. It can also be said that this brain is the macro brain of the universe viewed from a nano dimension. Though, based on the vastness of the universe, even a nano dimension is enormous. But I don't know how else I can put it right now. In respect of its origins, the universe is also a wavelength structure. The universe comprises an endless scale of wavelengths. The origin of all activity within the universe is composed of wavelengths, or data. In Sufism, the information that forms the structure of the universe is referred to as wujud, which means existence. This word wujud ends with a D and is different to the Turkish word wujut that ends with a T, which means body. What is known as the unity of existence in Sufism refers to the origin of existence. The phrase unity of existence is used to denote the reality that the origin of existence is one. These wavelengths, or infinite qualities that comprise the universe, in other words, the single unified existence, which contains multiple concepts and information denoted by the names of Allah, is the origin of the universe. As this structure continually forms through different vibrations, it takes on infinitely different forms. That is, manifestations. Now, in Sufism, there are two important notions known as the unity of existence and the unity of witness. While the former, unity of existence, talks about how the whole of existence is a unified single reality, the latter, the unity of witness, which is a more advanced understanding, talks about how the essence of what is perceived as existence, that is, the infinite field of knowledge in the form of waves, self-decodes various clusters of wavelengths with which it shares the same frequencies. And thus, evaluates these waves within itself. It points to the intangible, impalpable existence, which has originated in knowledge. The Sufi teaching, Allah observes his knowledge, with his knowledge, in his knowledge, denotes the reality that the actual reality of everything we perceive is not present in this material dimension, but in the data wave dimension, which comprises the origin of all existence, and which decodes all other data and waves carrying its own frequency. This reality has been symbolically narrated as observing knowledge in knowledge with knowledge. Based on this reality, it has been said in Allah's knowledge, the engendered worlds have not even sensed existence, i.e., they are inexistent in the material sense. The teaching Allah is beyond and independent of the worlds also refers to the reality that all seeming existence is present in Allah's knowledge alone. They haven't tasted actual existence. The word Subhanallah also points to this reality. All words and phrases in the Quran are symbolic expressions. They denote certain concepts. We must not take them literally, but try and understand the concepts they symbolize. Just as the origin of existence is knowledge, the origin of the brain is also knowledge. It is a cluster of information. The structure we define as the brain is essentially a bundle of information. Starting from the 28th or 29th days following conception, when the brainstem initially begins to form in the mother's womb, the brain develops and grows like a bundle of data. Specific data-carrying waves program our brain neurons to specific frequencies, thus enabling all activities, functions, and evaluations to take place at these specified frequencies. The most palpable example of this today is the conversion of waves that are received through the eyes. From a religious perspective, just as existence in its entirety has formed as the manifestation of the names of Allah, that is, the infinitely various qualities and meanings denoted by the names of the one whose name is Allah. In the same way, the brain is also a location where the names of Allah become manifest. This location has been named the brain in English and other words in other languages. Allegorically speaking, the data that reaches the brain gets converted by the name Al-Musawir, the fashioner of forms. Thus, producing imagination, or, to put it another way, certain waves that are received by the brain are converted in the brain's sight center and form the holographic world. The truth is, everything we think we see is actually the hologram world we have produced in our brain as a result of converting incoming waves of data. Topics tackled by science today are the very facts that the Rasul of Allah and other enlightened beings have been talking about for thousands of years through symbolic and metaphoric language. All these symbols and metaphors are now becoming decoded through science. Hence, a more factual rather than a figurative approach is being applied to these realities. The core reason why we have difficulty understanding these topics is because our brains are so saturated with metaphoric and symbolic narrations that it prevents us from recognizing the technical and mechanical aspects of the way they function. How does the brain form? As I briefly mentioned a little earlier, as of childhood and the time we spend in our mother's womb, various data accumulate and intensify in our brain. And based on their frequency, a database begins to form. All succeeding information that enters the brain after this gets evaluated based on this database. The country, culture, and the social and religious values in and with which we are raised define our value judgments, and we, actually not we, but our brain processes all incoming data based on these value judgments and makes conclusions such as this or that, good or bad, beautiful, appropriate, inappropriate, and so on. What are these conclusions based on? The already existing data in our brain pertaining to these topics. If, for example, the data was filed in our brain completely opposing what was previously stored, then our value judgments would have been completely different to what they are now. Perhaps we would have thought negatively of many things that we think positively of today. The reality is, the brain has the capacity to evaluate all sorts of data. Whether we realize this or not, the brain has this capacity. The verse in the Quran, "I will create on earth a vicegerent," can be decoded as the earth representing the body, such that it means, "I will create a structure in the body that has the capacity to manifest all of the inherent qualities of the divine names." In other words, the brain. As a matter of fact, in reference to the creation of man, the Quran speaks of the act of teaching all the names to man. What this means is, the brain has the capacity to manifest all of the qualities pertaining to the names of Allah. All of the meanings and qualities that the names of Allah denote. Therefore, the structure we call the brain is actually a location where Allah's names become manifest, and the place where all other data pertaining to the manifestations of Allah's names are received, evaluated, and processed into other formations. Thus, due to this circulation of the names at every moment, that which we refer to as the brain manifests itself in yet another wondrous way. Hence, the human brain is a vicegerent on earth, or the body. In respect of its essential composition, the brain has no gender. Gender is formed in the brain later on. Though there's no need to delve into this detail at this juncture, we need to understand the mechanics of the brain really well. Now, we said the brain receives data from its surrounding and forms a database. Based on this data, it makes interpretations and conclusions, such as this is such, and that is such, and this is good, and that is bad, and so on. All the while, the brain continues to receive new data from all the other organs in the body, as well as from outside. The brain evaluates all this new data based on its already existing data. Now, scientists have demonstrated that 6 seconds after something is processed by the brain, its scope of awareness is formed. With this awareness, we are able to say things like, "I think this," "I talk like this," "I'm doing such and such," "I want this or that," "I have decided on such and such," etc. But the truth is, before you even made this decision, 6 seconds before you became conscious of making this decision, your brain had already decided and processed it. It was already done and over. The brain had already made the decision and processed the information. You only became aware of it 6 seconds later, and only then were you able to claim, "I think this." This mechanism of the brain points to the reality that all activity taking place in the brain is actually the activity of the meanings and qualities of the names of Allah. Hence, pointing to the verse, "You cannot want unless Allah wants." This is a crucial point, so it is important that we understand it really well. This process I'm talking about is, in other words, the manifestation of the various functions of the qualities and meanings of the names of Allah. This is why the verse, "You cannot want unless Allah wants," signifies this mechanism. The verse in the Quran, "When you threw, it was not you who threw, but it was Allah who threw," denotes the reality that the names of Allah become manifest in the brain to enable a certain activity or a bodily motion to take place. The verse, "Allah created you and all your actions," denotes the reality that it is this decision-making mechanism in the brain which drives all bodily activity. In the past, they used the terms tasbih, similarity, and tanzih, incomparability. Tanzih means Allah is beyond and incomparable to anything and everything that we can ever talk about or conceptualize. Tashbih, on the other hand, means everything in existence, every single point of existence, every atom is a manifestation of Allah's names. Hence, there is nothing else in existence but Allah. Therefore, we must construe the verses in the Quran in light of both of these views. If we limit the verses of the Quran by saying, "This verse denotes only incomparability," and "This verse is only similarity," we will neither understand the Quran, nor the oneness of Allah, nor the oneness denoted by all of the names of Allah. We will come to the point of denying Allah's absolute oneness and self-sufficiency. To say Allah is self-sufficient means Allah is who, other than whom there is no other. So, if there is no other, then the entire existence must be comprised of the names of Allah and their manifestations. Then, all of the brains, all formations we call the brain, are nothing other than the materialized manifestations of the names of Allah. To understand this topic correctly, we should abandon our current viewpoint, going from multiplicity to unity, and stop trying to understand the one through many. But instead, we should look from the opposite direction. Look from the one towards the many. From unity to multiplicity. Existence is a single existence. And this single existence has infinite qualities. This reality designates the quantum superposition in the quantum potential, but with one difference. While the quantum superposition holds that all states are possible, we assert that behind all seemingly possible states, there is the plan of only one possible state. Let me give an example to simplify it a little. When the sperm and the egg unite, the first cell is formed. 23 chromosomes from the sperm and 23 chromosomes from the egg come together to make the first human cell, comprised of 46 chromosomes and a specific genetic coding. Now, the genetic code contained in this single cell has all the data as to how the body is going to form, and where and how its arms, fingers, hands, eyes, cheeks, chin, ears, heart, lungs, and so on are going to be. So, based on this data, the cells begin to grow and proliferate. Although all the cells are copies of one another, and they all carry the same entire human genome, based on the programming they receive, they each have unique roles and functions to carry out and form different molecular compositions and organs in the body. The fact that a cell engages in different functions according to the different requirements of different organs is its superposition. But the fact that it takes its place in existence and stimulates formation based on the unique program given to it is a different story. Therefore, just like the formation of a human, the universe also begins at a point of all possibilities, but progresses along the line of only one possibility, which eventually leads to infinity through a process of sequential triggering. So, just as the information of how and where the human body will be formed is contained in its first cell, and hence known at the outset, the formation of the universe and where and how a particular galaxy will be formed . How dark energy will form dark matter. How and when perceivable matter will be formed from dark matter. And how sentient beings will be formed. To perceive all of this is also known at the outset. This is what is meant by everything is contained in the knowledge of Allah. I hope I have been able to explain it, as this is the best I can do within the limits of language and capacity. If I go into further detail, I will digress from the topic completely. If it is needed, we will cover some of these topics in more detail later on. But for now, the important point to understand is, as I had written in one of my books, from a God that thinks like a man to a man who thinks like Allah. This does not mean humans have the same capacity of Allah. It does not mean this. It means man creates a God in his imagination based on his value judgments and all the information and conditioning he receives. So, everyone's God is different. This is an illusory God created in his mind based on his knowledge and evaluations. My book explains Allah revealed by Muhammad is called Muhammad's Allah. When I wrote this title, they asked me, "Isn't Muhammad's Allah our Allah also?" Of course, it wasn't a simple narration as this one. We must understand the meaning, concept, or whatever you want to call the one denoted by the name Allah, which Muhammad, peace be upon him, explains. For the knowledge and power that forms existence is also the very one who reveals and discloses the truth about itself. It is through the Rasul of Allah that Allah, the one who created existence with his names, discloses himself. As such, the Rasul of Allah does not speak from himself. The knowledge of the names comprising his essence want to disclose themselves. They want to become manifest through him. We must abandon the God we have created in our minds and refine ourselves so that we can truly understand the one denoted by the name Allah. As revealed by the Quran and the Rasul of Allah, the one whose name is Allah. There is a verse that says, "Call him Allah or call him Rahman." The name Rahman is like the essence, origin, source, or potential of all the other names. Contrary to the common misconception, the meaning denoted by the name Rahim is far beyond the common translation of one who is compassionate and forgiving. It means something far greater than this. Essentially, the word Rahim in Arabic means the female reproductive organ. That is, Rahim forms, produces, protects, preserves, develops, and manifests. It is the name Rahim that forms, develops, and produces with knowledge. The qualities of the names that are contained in the potential of the name Rahman and manifest this as the universe. This is why the very first verse in the Quran is Rahman, whose name is Allah, is Rahim. The one whose name is Allah is Rahman. That is, he is the source of all the infinite qualities symbolized by the names. He is Rahim. He is the one who manifests all the perceivable and unperceivable worlds. Just as this is true for the formation of the whole universe with all its macro dimensions, it is also true for all the micro and nano dimensions, and at a very miniature level within the brain, inside the structure called the brain. At each instance, all the attributes of the names Abari, Al-Halik, Al-Musawir, simultaneously manifest themselves in the brain. This is why the verse says, "We will drag him by his forehead." Nasia. This symbolizes the brain. Now, earlier, I was trying to explain awareness. When we are aware, we refer to this awareness as I, that is, the brain calls it I. Or to put it more accurately, amongst the genetic information the brain receives, there is also the concept I, because this notion of I is received via the genes, the brain affixes the singular pronoun I to all its activities and projects this as awareness, and we call this projection consciousness. Data reaches the brain, and this input of data becomes processed by the brain. Philosophy refers to this mechanism of processing as the intellect. The act of processing incoming data based on existing data by the prefrontal cortex is no other than what we call the intellect, which literally means the ability to understand something by comparing and relating it to something else. As well as this mechanism of the left prefrontal cortex, there is also the amygdala, which processes information at a much faster speed. We can explain the activity of the amygdala as intelligence. Anyway, there is no need to go into detail. The important point is what we call I is essentially a creation. It comes into existence from nothingness. It has no foundation. It is created and recreated at every moment. Allah creates the I at every moment. What does it mean that Allah creates the man at every moment? It means the brain receives, processes, and outputs data at every moment. In the field of awareness, the data it outputs becomes his consciousness. And he takes ownership of this output by saying, "I did this." This point at which we say, "I did this," where the pronoun I is added, is a creation of the brain. Since the brain is essentially the activity field of Allah's names and qualities, I is a generation of this field, i.e., creation of Allah at every instant. It has no real substance, it comes from nothingness and goes to nothingness. As soon as the I is generated in the brain, another activity takes place in the brain. Hence, another output is processed and another I is created. This process takes place at such high speed that I assume I am constantly living. Whereas, every moment, I am recreated from nothingness. The name Al-Hasib, from the previous instant, evaluates the creation in the present instant. And hence the brain is Sari'ul Hasib, i.e. quick at reckoning. The brain is a cluster of Allah's names. It is quick to reckon, and thus it processes and resolves incoming data instantly. Now, if this is the way the system works, one may say, "But I am. No matter how much you say I do not really exist, I exist." So why do I have to perform salat, pray, and supplicate? The thing is, you with yourself, just by wanting, cannot perform salat, or pray, or supplicate. In fact, you are incapable of doing anything at all. The mechanism in effect here is, if the information contained in your database is appropriate, incoming data will be evaluated. And based on this evaluation, a decision will be made as to what will happen, what needs to happen next. If through this decision-making, a self-evaluation takes place, and the brain concludes, I am insufficient in this area. I need to develop myself a little more in that area. I need to form such and such, etc. Then, automatically, the brain will decide it has to supplicate and pray for these things. Based on this decision, you will feel an innate yearning and desire to pray. You may want to chant and invoke certain names, or just pray, or read the Quran, or turn inward and meditate. You may feel a desire to know yourself, or to know and understand Allah, and so on. This desire is generated as a result of the process that takes place in the brain. But again, let's not take the word brain literally, and remember it denotes the names of Allah and the outcome of His existence through a specialized cluster of names. So, if ever this kind of an expansion takes place in someone's brain, that person will feel the desire to search and question and know for himself. This will be the result of his own acquisition. By acquisition, I mean the accumulation of years of information in that brain, and the processing of data based on this buildup of data, resulting in particular actions. Therefore, the creator of actions is also the names of Allah. Let's take a break.